The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now we're going to shine a light on the issue of adoption in Ireland. Of course, when you have mother and baby homes and a whole legacy and history of controversial adoption whereby mothers gave up their children has all been transformed in a modern day situation where people without children are desperate to obtain them. And there's also another factor, which is that in 2022, we enacted the Birth Information and Tracing Act, which gave adopted kids, now adults, the right to find out who their birth parents were. So it's a great pleasure to welcome to the studio on the Pat Kenny Show Orla Traynor, who is chair of the Adoption Authority of Ireland. Welcome, Orla. Let's just start with this act. I remember the campaigns by people who had been adopted to have this right to be able to contact their birth parents. Have many people sought to avail of it? And how has it worked out? Because I often think that maybe back in the 70s or 60s, there was, you know, girls and teenagers who became pregnant, who gave up their children for adoption, subsequently got married, never told anyone about their original pregnancy, and maybe wouldn't want anyone to know now that they have a new family. So how has it gone?
Good morning, Ivan, and thank you very much for having me on your show. So we are very pleased with the with this new act, the introduction of this act. It's been a game changer. And so far we have had 4,000 entries on the contact preference register. We've had 5,500 applicants who have applied for their information, and they've all received their information. And currently we're averaging 110 applications per month. And there's a time limit for the release of this information in the Act of 30 days, and we're currently achieving that deadline. So the key point of access for adoptees seeking their information is a dedicated website, www.birthinfo.ie. So relevant persons are given, who are entitled to their information, are given copies of their records together with details of free counselling supports. And when the records are released to them, should they wish to avail of them, and when the information is likely to cause distress, they are given a dedicated social worker, should they so wish to avail of that.
And have there been cases whereby the adopted person, who's now an adult, wants to find out for medical history reasons or for lots of other reasons about their original DNA, where the birth parent have resisted this? And how have you resolved that dilemma?
Well, they're entitled to their information. So what happens is we have this contact preference register, which was set up by the Adoption Authority in 2014. And as I said, we've had 4,000 entries on this and 393 matches. So what happens is the birth parents who don't want contact register on this contact preference register. And then when the information is being released, this is given to the adult adoptees who are seeking their information. And we find that the request for no contact is generally respected.
So they have a right to anonymity if they insist on it?
Yes, absolutely.
And that's the end of the matter then, is it?
Well, what I would say that if there are any birth parents out there who haven't yet come forward to the contact preference register, that if they phone the Adoption Authority on our telephone number, which is 01-230-9000.
And what's your website?
The website is www.aii.ie, but the birth information website, the first point of access for adoptees, is birthinfo.ie.
And has there been any cases where a birth parent sought to find out whatever happened to their son or daughter? And how has that worked out in terms of, has there been, well, you put me up for adoption, I'm now happy with my adoptive surroundings, go to hell?
Well, the contact register helps with this in that where people want contact. If there's a match, they're put together. So from the 4,000 entries we've got since 2014, we've had 393 matches. And since October 22, when this contact preference register was put on a statutory footing under the Act, we've had 982 applications for tracing and 317 have been dealt with.
OK, let's pivot to the other situation. So couples are getting together much later. There's IVF, fertility problems. You have same-sex couples. And therefore, the demand for children to be adopted. How many domestic adoptions have been done in recent years?
Well, last year we had 131 adoption orders, and out of those 131, five were infant adoptions, compared to eight the previous year. We've had 10 family adoptions and 45 long-term foster care. But the increase is in the new family formations. 71 adoptions last year were step-parent adoptions. And a step-parent adoption takes place where a mother marries or cohabits with a partner other than the father of her child. And that partner goes on to adopt the child.
Yeah, and I get the foster parent and the stepchild situation. I wasn't asking about that. I was asking about situation of someone who'd like to adopt a baby. So really, if it's less than 10, if it's single digits, 5 and 8 of domestic, what is the prospect of a viable foreign adoption? Where can they go? What's the process? Does it cost money? How long does it take?
Well, what happens is they apply to TUSLA in the first instance on tusla.ie, their website. There's a questionnaire, a 90-minute questionnaire that they fill up. And following that, then there are information sessions. And at the end of the information sessions, they're given the opportunity to explore the six different types of adoptions that there are now, including intercountry adoption. And should they go the intercountry route, they're referred to our agency that we regulate in Cork, the Helping Hands Adoption Mediation Agency. And they assist parents who want to adopt from abroad through the whole process, from pre-assessment information, support meetings, to completion of the registration with us when they come back from the country with their child.
And what countries are we talking about?
We're talking about Vietnam, the USA, the Philippines, India, and we've programs with all of these countries.
So they firstly go to TUSLA that they're suitable people to be adoptive parents, and then they go to Helping Hands to try and locate children. What happens then? Like, how long? Say they tick all the boxes. How long does it take? And what's the availability of children? And do they have to pay money?
Well, the next step then is that they go through the assessment process, and the assessment process are carried out by TUSLA, and they can take some time. They have to be thoroughly checked, medicals, guard the vetting, guard the clearances.
So it's a stable home and all that kind of good stuff.
Absolutely. Yeah. And then at the end of that, they go through, as I said, the information about what country they're going to go to with Helping Hands. And as I said, they support them through the preparation of their dossier. They have to get a declaration of eligibility and suitability, which we as a board issue. And once they have that, then they go through the preparation of their dossier, which is sent to the country that they've chosen. And then they're matched with the child. And that matching can take some while because they're matched with the couples. The children are matched with the couples. And then Helping Hands support them to go out to get their child once they're matched.
But you can imagine to go to the Philippines or Vietnam or even the USA, it's quite expensive and you might have to make a couple of trips.
Absolutely, but Helping Hands will go through all of that with them during the assessment. They will process they will give them written information about what the costs are for each different country because it varies from country to country. And they'll have that.
Like, what should they budget? 10 grand, 20 grand?
Well, it's each country, as I said, is different, but it would cost in the region of between 10 and 12,000 euros.
And how long might it take?
Adoption. Well, you're talking about many years, maybe 4 or 5 years altogether from initial information session to actually coming home.
Which brings us on to the final question then is that there are 70,000 kids in distressed circumstances subject to care orders and different things with TUSLA. And fostering is the number one way of caring for these children in a family environment. So say someone's been fostered for several years, and I know you can't adopt over 18. You're saying that the most populated numbers that you do is actually where it works out so well that the foster parents want to adopt.
Absolutely. Every child is entitled to a safe place, a safe and loving place that they can call home. But foster care ends at 18, so TUSLA are actively encouraging people to go for long-term foster care. Because the orders that we make go well beyond 18. They provide security and stability for children in homes where they've been loved and cared for most of their lives in circumstances where the parents cannot provide that environment for them.
All right. Okay. Fascinating insight into the world of adoption in Ireland. People who want to adopt, people who have been adopted. My thanks to Orla Traynor, Chair of the Adoption Authority of Ireland.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.